Continuing the journey, we just got to the point when we discover that the hybrid Zetas are the future humanity.
Right. Right. So, you know, I had a stepmother who never smoked a day in her life, and she got lung cancer. And I realized it was from selfishness. Every single thing she did was so selfish, it was unreal. And when she married my father, she called my brother and me into my bedroom and sat down, and she goes, I just want to clear the air and tell you boys that there's only two things I care about in my life. And I'm not going to care about you, and I'm not going to care about your father. And the only things are is drinking champagne and playing tennis. And that way, you won't have to wonder later on, is this woman really selfish? Is she really only care about drinking champagne and playing tennis? Because I'm telling you right now, that's all that I'm interested in. So I thought, you know, that's pretty cool, really.
At least it's honest.
Very daring of her to just tell us that the first day she moved in. But, you know, it did sort of clear the air. I mean, it was like, okay, you know, what do you do with that? But that's the way it was. And then she died. So before she died from lung cancer, I was trying to explain to her that when you live a good life and you have good karma and you balance your problems, then you have like a lot of credits that you can spend in your next lifetime, and you can be born in a better situation, and then you have more choices and you can grow. And if not, then you've got to go back in the same situation you were in and repeat it until you fix what was wrong. So, I was trying to explain to her that if you have two cars that are identical, and you put a drunken a-hole at the wheel of one of them, and you put the most sensitive poet at the wheel of the other one, these two identical cars will be driven down the highway, even though in every respect they should be the same. The way they're driven will be completely different. And I was trying to say that your body is like the car that you're driving, and your soul is like the driver. So your soul gets to express itself using a gas pedal, a brake, a gear shift, a clutch, windshield wipers, headlights, a steering wheel, and that's what you're given to express yourself. But the driver is much more than the car he's driving, in the same way that your soul is much greater than the body you're operating. So why wouldn't you, as you make new realizations and new understandings, why wouldn't you want to have a body in which you could do so much more and understand so much more and live so much longer and have more fun? So that's what the Zetas have done. Not only are we helping them save themselves, so Zetas, these people who have been space traveling for millions of years and are incredibly telepathic, because they're not like a hive. You know, I always hear that phrase. People say, well, is this a hive mind? No, it's not a hive mind. Each is an individual soul. But by being unselfish and by being totally telepathic, anything that any one of them knows can be shared with anyone else. So you might meet a Zeta and ask them a question they have no answer to, but 2 seconds later, they can access the answer to that question through somebody else's mind or through their heart. Now, the Zetas cut out emotions. And as I said yesterday, if you remember when I was describing, when you throw a basketball and it leaves your fingers and you have that emotional certainty that it's going to go through the net, and then it does, that's the psychic force that is the creator powers that allow you to materialize and manifest things in your life that you couldn't otherwise do. You can't just think something into reality. You have to feel it into reality. And to make it materialize, you actually got to take a step in that direction. So these beings realized they had made a serious mistake by cutting out emotions, because they're unable to be the creative creators in training that they were meant to be. And in us, they see, yes, there's a lot of sadness, there's jealousy, there's greed, all the negative emotions. but they see that, that all that's going on. But at the same time, they never realize the depth of the attachment and the love and the acceptance and the warmth and the bonding that, and the accomplishments that are possible when you have feelings. So really this, the psychic secret to the higher reality is the feelings. And as I said, I've materialized, contact with ETs, then I materialized my partner. And the third thing I did was I was thinking, I've got to get out of this fishing village. It's like torture to be here with these people. And I had spied this mountaintop and gone up there, and there was a sign in the brush that said a realtor. So I called him up, and he goes, oh, I just sold that to a banker in France, and he's going to build a house up there. And so right when I met, even before I met Janet, I had already called this realtor and said, I'd like to buy that mountain, but I couldn't because it wasn't for sale. So I kept going up there, which is here where I am now. And I kept coming up here and nothing was going on. So I'd call the realtor up and he'd go, what didn't you get about what I said? This mountain is not for sale. And, can I show you something else? And I said, no, you can't, because I know that this is going to be my home. And people would ask me, where would you like to live? And I go, oh, I don't know. I'm still looking. But I was lying to them, and I admit it, because, and I'll tell you why, if you have a dream and you're trying to materialize it and you haven't materialized it yet, when you share it with other people, of course they're going to be disparaging and negative, and they're going to ridicule you, and they're going to tear your dream down, and you're still trying to build it, and it's a very delicate process. So you don't want to share that with other people who are going to make fun of you. So every 3 months for 15 years, I called this realtor and said, you know, is it available yet? And he'd say, no, it's not. And the banker in France still intends to build a house, but I didn't see any sign of it. And so we became friends. We would meet for coffee. And he's like, can I show you something else? And I'm like, no, you can't. And then finally, 15 years later, I called him on a Saturday morning, and he goes, you must be absolutely the luckiest damn guy in the entire world. He goes, you're not going to believe this, but the banker from France just called to say he wasn't going to move here, he wasn't going to build anything, and put it back on the market. And I didn't even hang up the phone when you called. I just pushed the other button, and there you are. And I said, well, I'll take it. And I said, how much is it? And he goes, well, 34 acres, how about 3,000 an acre? And I said, that's it, I'll take it. And so that's how I got it. And so that's three things. Do you realize that? It took me 20 years to get contact with extraterrestrials, a year of every day asking the ETs to help me find a partner, and 15 years to get this mountaintop where Janet and I now live.
Wow. So you're demonstrating that
feeling,
either it takes a lot of dedication, or...
No, it takes an emotional belief that you will succeed.
It's the belief, isn't it? Yeah. But if you could get the belief, it wouldn't take a year.
Well, you know, see, the thing is if you lived on your own and you had your own planet, probably things would be instantaneous. But you don't, you know. So in every case, you're dealing with other people and their situations. So there has to be some, you know, meeting point for all of this, and that's what it took.
So.
The reason why I say that is because the Zetas are overjoyed. You'd think, well, look, they live 400 years, they have IQs of 300, they're totally telepathic, they don't need to eat food on a spaceship, they just travel through space. I mean, what more do you want, you know? They're looking at us, what a mess we are in here, planet Earth, and they're going, wow, these people have emotions and feelings. They wake up to such joy and happiness, and they fall in love, and they have sex. And what were we thinking to get rid of that?
That's right. It's quite fun. So So is it just feelings that they don't have? I mean, is it just like they've switched them off and the whole thing or?
No, they just, they're so sophisticated genetically that they got rid of them.
Okay.
You know, they thought, well, this is like, as, you know, that it's, well, they thought, well, that's why we destroyed our planet. That's why we shouldn't be allowed to have another planet. We really shouldn't, you know, we're just like, I guess they went through a period, I guess you could say, of low self-esteem, you know, like, we don't deserve to have a planet. We don't deserve to have feelings. And we don't, you know. But the thing is if they don't have all that, then they might as well be little robots. And the factory is failing, you know. So now, with our consent on a soul level, now you see on the subconscious why people could think, oh, my God, I'm being abducted, and they took my sperm, and they took my eggs, and, oh, my God, my wife has been pregnant for 6 weeks. And, you know, this just seems, on a subconscious level, to be what you've taught, been taught by society that, you know, love hurts, so how are you going to hurt me? And then the conscious level, well, if this obviously isn't legal, so if I could figure out a way to arrest you, I will. So, you know, this is just wrong. You just should not be allowed to come through the wall of my house and take me wherever you want to take me. But the people aren't in touch with their higher self, which is saying, I realize we're all brothers and sisters. How can I help you? So, you know, the thought that this is our planet somehow because you were born here, you've got to realize the body that you're living in was designed intentionally to be a good slave. And that's it. I mean, when you look in things like the Bible and they talk about the Tower of Babel.
Beg your pardon, folks. We had some internet problems here. They're resolved now. Your guys are back online now.
Waiting for Gordon here. There you go. Gordon, you there?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I think you can see that, that, you know, the idea that these extraterrestrials are going to come and take over Earth, when you realize, where do you think all these souls came from? If the universe is, let's just say the scientists are right, and the universe is 16 billion years old, and let's say the creator, that's where our souls come from, is from the creator. So who knows how old the creator is? Excuse me. So, yes, your body was born here on Earth, but you as a soul are the extraterrestrial. You came here, and now you think this is your planet? Why can't other people do that? As long as everybody's unselfish and works together, what's wrong with that? You see what I mean?
I can totally.
So, I mean, what questions come to your mind on this subject right here?
Well, I can totally relate to it. Because here I am, I'm not really a sort of traditional native of anywhere because I'm a crossbreed, I live in a different country now from where I was born, but I'm a part of the community and I interact and interrelate, and we have a barter system and we have all sorts of things that I help to put together as well. So I feel that I've contributed partly to this community. So
you know, the humans, these defective humans, they're looking at all these people that are pretending to be God, the Anunnaki, and they're saying, where in the hell do these people come from? They got to marry their sisters or their half sisters or their half brothers to keep the blue blood royal line going, and where in the hell do they come from? So, of course, given a chance, they built themselves a giant launch center and a giant rocket, and they thought, well, we're just going to go up into heaven, meaning we're going to go to Planet X, and we're going to see what the hell goes on there. And that's what the Tower of Babel really was. See, so there are a lot of things that really go together with the actual history of Earth. But, you know, people writing back then, there was no way they could express what was going on. Heaven was where the gods came from. And that's where you went back to. if you were a god. You came from heaven, you went back to heaven. So of course everybody thought, well, when we die, we'd like to go to heaven. Well, who wants to be born on a planet with a selfish, 8 to 12 foot giants, you know, that grunt a lot and walk around in togas? I mean, it didn't, I don't know. There might be somebody that would like that, but it didn't sound that attractive to me.
So is this also part of the Jack and the Beanstalk kind of fable?
Well, all this talk about giants, yeah, and yeah, it's all different layers of the same story being understood, you know, if not consciously, then being understood subconsciously. But I'm glad you mentioned that, because I guess that movie just went to disc about the giant beanstalk. I want to see it. I was just talking to Janet about that the other day.
All right. My girlfriend discovered a box of giant beans in my greenhouse. You know, I've moved into this old ramshackle house. There's all sorts of stuff lying around. And there was a little tin with a little girl on it, with 11 beans in it.
Mm. And where might they take you?
Who's to say? So maybe you grind them up and smoke them. No, anyway,
a lot of these races that you might think, well, you know, you've heard of the Nordics and the Pleiadians and the Lyrans and the Vegans and these other groups, you're thinking, well, why can't they come here and breed? And even though their DNA is related somewhat to ours, if they tried to create a mix, it wouldn't come out. So, you know, why not welcome a group whose DNA matches ours perfectly, except that it doesn't have the defects that the Anunnaki put into our race, and they come along and they're going to add to us. So they're searching for the most emotionally feeling people on Earth who are intelligent and caring and empathetic, and those are the ones that they're breeding with to create this new race. And after pole shift, these people are going to be living on the earth with us. So there are millions of them. And you might ask, and where are they? And they are in invisible domes under the ocean. They're in deserts and places where they just can't be discovered. And we're not to know where they are, because that would be very dangerous for them to be discovered right now. But they're going to come out in the open after this change comes. So when there's this huge earth change and governments are gone and there's nobody to come after them and start killing them, they're going to start appearing everywhere. And you might be invited to come and live with them in one of the domes. And these people, your new race, are going to live 400 years, have IQs of 300 plus. They're going to be totally telepathic. They're going to be caring and loving. And any problem that comes up, they're going to know the answer to it instantly. And they're going to work together with normal humans as we know them until we gradually die out. And then the new babies will be born through reproduction with this hybrid race. And that's what the earth is going to be like. So that's why I say within 1,000 years, this new race is going to build a fleet of spaceships and travel the universe. That's the secret of what's been going on Earth. This is a special, very, very special place. And you should pat yourself on the shoulder every single day and say thank you for being part of this. Because this is the biggest story ever told, or you could say the biggest story never told. But it's coming out now. And what it is that in 1,000 years, humans from Earth, and that's what the Zetas are, humans, and they're going to be from Earth, and they're going to be part you and part me and part them, and they're going to go out to the universe, to all these civilizations, and many of them have never had any contact with any other extraterrestrial civilization. They might not even have considered that there's other races. And we're going to land on spaceships, and we're going to ask them how things are going, and they're going to say, well, actually, it's good that you came, because we have a really big problem. And we're going to hear their problem, and we're going to go, there's nothing to that. Don't worry about it. This is what you do about that, and fix it. And what this is going to do is start to unite all the peoples of the universe into one common interest group where we all know who we are. We all have our unique differences, which we respect and admire and appreciate. And we're going to work together on whatever projects humans are interested in, whether it's music, the arts, science, math, dimensions, materializations, healing. And so as hard as it is to imagine all the pain and suffering that each one of us is going through in this lifetime, there will come a point from a future dimension where you can actually unpain that you've gone through and heal that. And so this is a really big, exciting story. So when you look at it this way, and considering all the various things that I've said, you know, where does Planet X fit? So you see that it's a worldwide disaster. Now, why would you have a worldwide disaster? Well, some people say, well, Planet X was led into the solar system to cause trouble in the first place. It hasn't always been coming here, but it's come here for a long time, and it's caused a disaster every time. And so why would that be? Well, that would be a way of the forces of domination and control having you afraid of something, because the best way for selfish people to control you is to have you be afraid, to make you feel guilty about being you. And I'll give you a perfect example, and I hope that your listeners really spend some time thinking about this, because imagine that it's just a gorgeous day and you go out into the most beautiful forest ever. And you find the most beautiful spot and you sit down in it and you're tuning into nature and you're just like in heaven, and you've just find this peaceful level that you're at where you're just in tune with everything good. And you're sitting there and a selfish person comes up behind you and has chosen to walk exactly through the spot where you're sitting and says, "Get out of my way. You're blocking my way." And that's what's going on every day with selfish people. They think nothing of doing stuff like that. And you have to be able to say, get lost. You know, I'm here, and not say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I blocked your way. I'll move." You know, you don't have to move. That what's with this selfish person coming up and saying, "You're in my way. I chose to go this way. Now you're blocking me." It wouldn't have mattered where you chose, because they would have come up behind you no matter where that was, and they would have said, "You're in the wrong spot." You've got to realize you are in the right spot, and you have to be able to stand up for yourself and say, "Look, I'm in the right spot. I know it's good for me to be here, and I got here first, and this is where I'm staying, and you're not messing with me. Get lost yourself, buddy." So, you know, human life is never easy, but there's certain stages to the realizations that we all go through. And, you know, so that's, to me, this spiritual advancement, this choice between service to self and service to other, that's the most important thing. Because you are going to die at the end of this lifetime. I mean, who hasn't come to grips with that? Who really walks around thinking, "Well, I'm going to be living forever"? And you meet these religions where they go, "Well, even if I die and I'm buried, God is going to come along and raise me up in this same body, in the same clothing on Judgment Day, and because I was good, I'm going to be walking around in the same body." Well, would you really want to be? I don't.
They're going to run out of showers and dry cleaners. I'd, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
If I've been dead for a while, I'd like to have a shower, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Well, but if there's anything left to be brought, you know, like who? You know, people have dug up dead bodies from day one. What's left to bring back to life? What kind of a God is it that would reconstruct? I mean, look, I'm having fun being in my body right now, but do I think this is the ultimate body that I could ever have anywhere? You know, do I look the best I'm ever going to look? Should I just give up any hope that I could be smarter or more sensitive or better looking? I mean, what are we, you know, what are our goals here? I mean, so the story is that every 3,657 years, Planet X comes through the solar system, trailing hundreds of moons and thousands of rocks, and depending on what path it takes and where the planets are, it can cause pole shift. Now, by pole shift, many people are totally confused over this issue. You've got to understand that if you were a giant and you could stand above the solar system and look down at it, that every single star and every single planet has a north pole. And guess what? They're all pointed up. They're not pointed up because there's some huge magnetic spot on the surface of the planet, but because the center of the planet is a giant iron core, and that's where the magnetic north pole is. So when I talk about pole shift, I'm not talking about the magnetic north pole moving from the Arctic over to Siberia. I'm not discussing that at all. What I'm talking about is the crust of the Earth coming loose. Now, this is hard for people to realize, but granite floats on magma. So as heavy as granite is, 200 pounds a cubic foot, as heavy as it is, you would never picture it floating anywhere. But it is floating on the magma of the core. And it's the core that has the North Pole where it is. And nothing changes the core. The core keeps rotating. The North Pole always points up. But the crust of the Earth is like a piece of tissue paper around an orange. So what can happen is that the crust can come loose and slide and then slide for a while and then stop. And the predictions are that the new North Pole is going to be the eastern tip of Recife, Brazil, a 92-degree shift from the Arctic down to Recife, Brazil. So the crust is going to slide over the existing north pole of the core, which is still going to be pointing up, and the slide is going to stop when the eastern tip of Brazil is over that point, and that will be the new polar and magnetic north. But the north pole of the core is pointed at the star Polaris, and when all is said and done, the north pole of the Earth will still be pointed at Polaris. So this is not what people think. When they say, we've gone into the Great Atlantic Rift and we've seen that the poles have reversed several times, it isn't what scientists say at all. You remember how I keep saying scientists are idiots, they're stupid, the truth is a lie, is what we've been told is a lie from day one. What the truth is that the core has always stayed where it was and where it is and where it will be, but the crust slides around on it. So the crust can slip 180 degrees so that Antarctica could be over the north pole of the core, and then the sliding would stop, and then the ribbons of magnetized iron in the Great Atlantic Rift would be reversed, and they'd go, oh, look, there's proof of a pole shift. So every single time that you have a major pole shift, all record keeping is destroyed. So, you know, I first realized that there was going to be a pole shift when I was reading Edgar Cayce in 1968, and he talked about a pole shift in England disappearing in the twinkling of an eye, in Japan, and all these other things. I realized, oh my God, that's what's going to happen. So I've known about pole shifts since 1968. Then in 1974, Zechariah Sitchin's book came out, The Twelfth Planet, which retranslated the Sumerian text to put in the truth of space travel and the Anunnaki and us being created as gold mining slaves. The Anunnaki describe Earth. Now, we describe Earth as the third planet from the sun. I'm sure you've heard that before, right, JP?
Yep, it's an old Jimmy Hendrix.
Yeah, well, right, in the Sumerian tablets, the Anunnaki describe the Earth as the seventh planet because when you come from outer space towards the sun, we're the seventh planet. So those archaeologists from Germany, France, and England in 150 years ago were going to miss that. They had no expectation that that could even happen or be possible, and yet there it is.
So
all this, what?
No, go ahead.
So all this stuff I knew, and Janet and I started lecturing, together. She had never spoken in public before, so it's been a long process for her to feel comfortable about speaking out. But she's definitely not the only woman that's had Zeta babies. And she's in bed now, so she's not going to be joining this conversation because she goes to bed early at night. And I'm up late even here in Maine, and I don't know how late it is for you, but it's got to be the early morning hours for you.
Oh, yeah, but this is where I live, so I live in this time zone.
Right. So we're lecturing and we're traveling around and we're talking to people. We have this UFO group in Bangor. Then all of a sudden the internet comes out in 95, 96. And so we get on the internet and I go to this new website called ZetaTalk.com. And they talk about the Zetas. And I'm like, well, I know all that. So I never went back to it. So then time goes on and we're lecturing and all this stuff. And then around 2006, I said, and by then I had written so much that people were starting to get interested to interview me on the radio. And so I was really practicing my writing by sending all these annoying emails to people about extraterrestrials. And, you know, not everybody was annoyed, but some people are like, please take me off your list. I don't want to know about that. So, okay. So, but in 2006, I said, you know, we've got to see if anybody is saying exactly what we're saying. And I took another look at Zeta Talk, and I was like, oh, my God. This woman, Nancy Leader, is just unbelievable what she's done. She's saying the exact, and the Zetas are saying the exact same thing that we're saying, only they're saying it in extreme detail that's mind-boggling. So I started reading it. And I was just like more and more amazed because everything that I had been talking about in general concepts, she had the absolute specifics. And, finally I started to get in touch with her, and, probably the first time that we ever talked was started somewhere around 2008. And since then I've become, great friends with her. Sometimes she can be a little tough, but you know, when I look back at all the abuse that Janet and I have taken for speaking out, which, as I said, is better now, but, you know, in our own neighborhood, if you've ever heard that phrase, you can't be a prophet in your own country. So, actually, some of our best friends who we get along with the best are people that don't live anywhere near us, and thank God for Skype, or else we would never be in touch with them, and we'd never be able to share this with those who are interested. So it's really been a blessing to be on the internet, and that's allowed us to find people who are like-minded. And I told Janet, I said, this stuff you're going to learn, you know, right now you're 1 in 100, but as you learn this stuff and realize it, you're going to become 1 in 1,000, 1 in 100,000, 1 in 1,000,000. And then where do you find friends to relate to? Well, you're not going to find them in your local town of 800. You know, you've got to reach out and then find these people around the world. And even if you only reach one other person, there's no telling who they're going to talk to and how they're going to change things. So this is a process, and it's a very important process. And as you realize these things, you've got to start speaking out. You've got to stop pretending that everything is right the way it's always been, because it isn't right, and it's never going to be right, and it's about to collapse. So, but anyway, Nancy Leader had volunteered to have an implant in her brain which allows the Zetas to speak to her. And she has done this. She's a poor woman. She lives very simply in Wisconsin, and she's been abused so terribly over this. But what she does and has done for 18 years is take questions from the public, and she's used various processes and means to get these questions. But now there's one method, and that is that you go to this website called poleshift.ning.com, and you ask a question there. You join it. It's free to join, and you become a member, and then you can ask questions. Or you can just email Nancy herself. And on ZetaTalk.com, that's the website, there's a link there for you to email a question to her. And there's two things. They do not do personal readings, and they will not answer a question twice. And that requires you to do the research. Now, this website is 39,000 pages of questions from the public and the answers. And as soon as you start to read this, you're just going to realize this is not just a story of extraterrestrials or ETs who lost their planet or a breeding program. This is a talk about, and it's not just about Planet X and the disasters and where the safe areas are, but this is really a spiritual lesson about the choice between service to self and service to others and how important that is in the future. So it's an incredible gift to humanity. If you know anything about the famous psychic Edgar Cayce, he did 14,000 soul readings, and they're all online through the Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And I've read most of those, and I've read probably 90% or 95% of Zeta Talk. And this is a gift to humanity, the likes of which you'll never see again. This is a woman who has devoted her life, the last 18 years of her life, to taking questions from the public. So she's not steering the conversation. She's not making up the questions. She's taking them from the public, like you and me. And then she puts it to the Zetas, and they telepathically give her the answers, and she writes it out and puts it on the website. It's available in most of the major languages around the world. There's 7 mirror sites to the main site, and there's all the things that you would ever want, the science, the pictures, the news stories, all showing that Planet X is here and about to cause pole shift. And the range of the evidence is so incredible that, you know, I personally, when I first started reading it and realized, because I had seen it back when it first started, and I thought, well, I already know that about the Zetas, and I didn't expect there was a lot more to it. But when I realized that she had the same details about Nibiru and Planet X that I first read about in Zechariah Sitchin's books, I was blown away. So I recommend everybody, and you can easily go online and find all kinds of statements that abuse her for various reasons, and you know, and she has taken plenty of abuse, and sometimes she can be gruff with people because she just feels, oh, another attack, you know, so, cause she's just a normal human being, you know, and you can just get attacked so many times before you get tired of it. So, but I would recommend people to don't take somebody else's word for what's in there. Go look at it yourself. And after you've read a few things, you know, sit back and say, how did that go down? What did you think of it? But in my mind, it's like been an unbelievable inspiration, because this is where people that take pictures of two suns rising or two suns setting, of the dark twin of Earth. There's all these NASA pictures, NASA satellites, the SOHO satellites take pictures of it all the time. They never explain it. So there's lots and lots of evidence of this stuff. And the major media is not mentioning it. In fact, they're going out of the way to avoid it. And at the same time, it was really funny in this recent sequestration cutback of funding that the CIA actually was financing some of these sites that were abusing Nancy. And they no longer had the money to spend on this kind of stuff. And the president told them to stop. So some of these, the biggest sites that attack Nancy every single day have just suddenly disappeared. And so this is like the biggest story that's not reaching the press. But the Russians and the Chinese have so many problems. The last thing they want to do is cover up UFOs. They got bigger fish to fry. And the Russians, they have no intention of being the minion of the United States. So they're almost to a point where they're going to announce it. And when somebody publishes something in Russia on the subject, they don't censor it or cover it up. But in the United States, you won't find this on the major media. It's like it's a subject that doesn't exist. So over the years, I've become very close to Nancy, and I know that she's She's gone through a lot. She's in her 70s. She's got a lot of health conditions. And she doesn't have a lot of patience with people who want to make things up. And then there's all these experts that say, oh, Planet X is 18 times the size of Jupiter, and it's a dwarf star, and it's coming into the solar system, and it's going to collide with the Earth, and we're all going to die. And it's all crap. The thing is it was first spotted in 1983 with the IRAS satellite, IRAS. And this is the infrared, astronomical spectroscope, went up looking for Planet X. They knew that it was coming from the direction of Orion. And in 1983, NASA and the Jet Propulsion Laboratory announced on the front page of the Washington Post, the New York Times, the LA Times, the Chicago Tribune, all these newspapers, big headlines, Planet X discovered entering the solar system. And the next day, JPL and NASA said, oops, we didn't discover it. We're still looking for it. Now, when was the last time that you heard the Jet Propulsion Laboratory and NASA make a huge announcement one day and take it back the next day as if it didn't happen?
When they're told to.
Exactly. And that night, everyone must have thought, wow, what does that mean? And they're like, oh, crap, we can't tell everybody that there's a chance, a 90% chance they're going to die. So, see, people don't realize that NASA is mostly a bureaucratic organization. When they contract out to make space equipment, when it's all made and it's ready to launch, it's the Jet Propulsion Laboratory that does all the calculations of where it should go and how long it should fire the rockets, in what direction, and what mid-course corrections it should make. So if anybody knows the equations of celestial mechanics and where something's going or coming from, it's JPL. And they did send this satellite up specifically to look for it. They go, oh, we're going to do an infrared study of the universe. No, they weren't. They were looking for Planet X because the elite have always known that this was coming back. And that's why they've been building all the tunnels. That's why they've been draining the economy of all the wealth so they can buy stuff to survive. Their original plan was to build a base on the moon and Mars, escape the Earth, and that's I know this is going to be shocking because people have always thought, oh, isn't it wonderful that NASA is engaging in pure science for the betterment of mankind? That isn't true at all. What's going on is NASA from day one was a plan to move all the elite, wealthy, and powerful, the Illuminati, call them what you want to call them, the billionaires, move them off the Earth to another location where they would safely survive pole shift and then come back as kings of the Earth after the dust settles. And that's the only reason NASA was invented. And the patch that says NASA, that all the NASA people wear on their shoulder, has got a picture, you've got to love it, of a monolith like from Arthur C. Clarke's 2001, and above that are the three stars in Orion's belt. So they've known, and to pretend they don't know and that this is a cover-up and they're engaging in all this discovery, that's bullcrap. I mean, that isn't what they're doing at all. They have over and over and over tried to figure out a way to get the elite off the Earth to survive pole shift to come back as kings of the Earth. And originally they thought they were pretty close to doing it because the selfish ETs said to the government, look, if you give us humans to experiment on and you give us natural resources that we need, we'll give you technology to go to the stars and we'll help you during pole shift and we'll bring you to a safe place. Well, the thing about selfish ETs is they're no better than selfish humans. They were lying like rugs. They had no intention of giving the government technology to go to the stars. They gave them a little bit of technology that's good enough to go like from the Earth to the moon. moon, but they didn't give them enough technology to like go to Arcturus or Andromeda, and they never were going to. And they never were going to lift anybody off the Earth and bring them back as kings of the Earth, because they really, the selfish ETs have no interest in having a bunch of super powerful, pompous humans running around thinking that they're in charge. That there's no place in their scheme of things for that to happen. The only way they get fun or enjoyment is by creating fear and controlling people and making them do what they want them to do. That's the fun. They didn't come here to destroy us, because if they destroyed us, what fun is that? The fun is in staying here and in subtle little ways controlling us day in and day out with money, with the economy, with governments, with war, with destruction. So that's what's really going on here. So they were never going to leave the Earth. Well, this has slowly dawned on them as they built all these tunnels. Then the earthquakes and the volcano started, and they realized, geez, tunnels are not really a good place to be, because they could collapse. The power is going to go out. What's going to happen when the fumes from the methane and other things come up into the air and we all get poisoned? How are we ever going to get out if the rock collapses and the doors won't open? We're screwed. So, what they've decided to do is to move to these gated communities in the mountains and make tunnels for their supplies, but not for living. And the original plan of the Denver International Airport is as the carry-on government of the United States. Now, you could say, well, what's wrong with Washington, D.C.? Why isn't that such a great spot? Why is the IRS already moved to Denver? Why has NASA moved to Denver? Why has the FBI moved to Denver? Why has the CIA moved to Denver? All of these federal buildings are emptying out as fast as possible in Washington, D.C., because they know that there's going to be huge tidal surges taking out the city. It's sitting there at sea level. And then, after Planet X passes by, there's going to be a fall of rocks, which is going to be the meteor shower to end all meteor showers. And these hot rocks are going to come down. A lot of them will burn up before they get here, but a lot will come down red hot and start fires everywhere and put holes in roofs everywhere. So you've got two problems. You first of all have to survive the shift of the crust above the core, then the tidal surges, and in the lead up to that, the volcanoes and the earthquakes. And then after it, you have to survive a fall of rocks. So this is a very complex issue. But what the elite have discovered is the only way they are going to survive is if they roll up their sleeves and get out in the garden to grow some tomatoes with you. And it's really a suitable kind of a lesson for them. You know, some of them are going to have their own private armies. And imagine that you're one of the guys in the private army and you realize the whole world has been destroyed and there's no more government. You're never going to get another paycheck. And now you're being ordered around like a slave by some rich person. So how long is it going to take you to say the hell with that and take your gun and shoot your leader and take his stuff? I mean, it just never occurred to these selfish people what they're going to do about this. So it leaves them in a position where they have only one real choice, which is to turn to the light, work together with other people, and try and be unselfish, which they probably can't do, because every single day of their lives has been spent stepping on other people to get ahead, something that you and I would never do. They're doing every day, and they're plotting it every day. So these are really big issues. So there's like places in North Carolina where people have private armies. There's a military corridor between Colorado Springs, Boulder, and Denver, where all these billionaires are living there. And now that NASA has stopped with the space program, the billionaires are all racing to have their own space project. They want to have the colony on Mars. They want to have the colony on the moon. What are they really saying? They're saying they hope to escape pole shift on Earth, and after everybody has gone through hell, they're going to come back with all the technology and be kings of the Earth. So I don't know about you, but I don't really feel that I need that kind of control over me.
I'd be glad to get rid of them, to be honest. I've been thinking about what you've been saying, as you've been saying, it's like, I'm just imagining, you know, one day, you know, things jiggle about a bit and another day I see, stuff flying about and, how long might that last for, the meteor shower?
Maybe 3 days. The fall of rocks like nobody's seen before. That might last 3 days.
Mm-hmm. And it really is the luck of the draw.
Yeah. You can't say where any one rock might land or not. So, the Zetas have talked about that and said you know, on the one hand, for the earthquakes and the volcanoes and the tidal waves and the crustal movement, you don't want to be underground. But as soon as all the shaking stops, to be followed by a fall of rocks, then you'd like to be underground. Yeah. So like the Hopi and the Navajo Indian had these beautiful cliffs out west that are not like caverns that go on for miles. They're just like giant overhangs and they're very stable and there's no rock that would take out any of these overhangs because they're hundreds or even thousands of feet thick. So they have in previous pole shifts going under these overhangs, and they plan to do that again.
Right. Have to find the local caves then.
Right.
Hide in them straight away.
So the process was that 1983, Planet X was spotted coming towards the solar system. In 1999, it entered the outer fringe of the solar system, and it approached the sun. And then it came from behind the sun around the sun in 2003. And you can read all about this in Zeta Talk. And I'm telling you based on my scientific understanding that this is exactly what's been going on. There is no question about it. So, you know, global warming is one of the biggest lies ever because it said, well, there's, you know, we're manufacturing and we're making so much CO2. We're warming the air. That's going to kill us. The storms are going to be bigger. And that's the real problem. And that's a great lie. And Al Gore agreed to be the point man for that lie. And he has made hundreds of millions of dollars dealing in carbon credits. And they're never going to admit that this was a lie. But you've got to understand that Planet X is 4 times the diameter of Earth. But it's got a huge iron core that's 23 times stronger than our magnetic field. So as it comes in, it roils our magma underneath us. And that causes warmth to come up to the bottoms of the oceans and under the glaciers. So the air, and you know how just a few years ago it was discovered that it was all fudged data that allowed them to say there's global warming. And the truth is the glaciers are melting from underneath, but at the same time on the top of the glaciers they're getting thicker because the air is getting cooler. So it's made these ridiculous situations like the up in the Arctic Circle in Scandinavia, the ice melted away and there was an Eskimo village. And the scientists, the global warming scientists are like, look how terrible global warming is. Look, it melted all this ice and now we see this Eskimo village and all this ice should have never melted. If we had gotten control of industry, this would never have happened. And then the people that don't believe in global warming are standing right behind them saying, and how was all the industry causing the warmth that allowed the Eskimos to build their village here in the first place before the ice covered it? So you just get into these ridiculous scientific discussions that are just like mind-boggling. But the United States sent up 2 satellites, the stereo ahead and the stereo behind, and they were intended to go forward and backwards in the Earth's orbit and photograph the sun. And they hold a little plate up on an arm to block the sun. So depending on how big the sun is, the plate goes further away or closer away, so the little circle covers the sun. So then when you look at, and the one satellite takes blue pictures and the other satellite takes red pictures. And you can go to the website. It's called SOHO, Solar something or other observatory. Anyway, S-O-H-O. You can go there and the new pictures are posted every 10 minutes. And Planet X is in a lot of them. And they do not archive them, so you can go look up all the Planet X pictures. If you see Planet X in one of the pictures, you've got to right-click on it and save it right then. But thousands of these pictures have been saved by people all over the world who go to the SOHO site continuously, and a lot of them are on this website, poleshift.ning.com. Now, the other name for Planet X is the winged globe. And you've seen airline pilots always have a little symbol of a circle with wings on it. And that's the symbol of Planet X is called the winged globe. The reason why is that the moons that are trailing behind Planet X, there's a twin stream of them. So it's like a spiral. It's like a twin-stranded rope. And these moons try and catch up with Planet X, but they can't. So they're rotating around, each one in their own strand. And as Planet X came into the solar system, as viewed from Earth, there would be one strand on one side and one strand on the other side, and it looks like a bird wheeling in the sky. You have this disk, which is Planet X, and then on each side you have the stream of moons going out from it, and that's the meaning of the winged globe. And you find that symbol all over the world. And there's a lot of hidden knowledge, secret knowledge just put out in plain sight and people don't even understand, like an 18,000-year-old gate of the sun in Peru that's got this huge symbol of the disc with the wings. And that's Planet X warning people, hey, this comes back every 3,657 years. You better be ready for it. And then you look at something as innocent as a Chinese parade, and you see that every single Chinese parade for the last 40,000 years always has a dragon ball at the head of it, and behind it is the tail of the dragon. And you have
this... Excellent place to pause. Hmm? We've got to take a pause. We've got to take a station break, and... I need a bathroom break, and I think our audience does.
Well, you said 2 hours. Now we've just completed our third, which is the total of fifth hour that I've talked.
That's right. How are you doing?
Well, I just as soon take a break and start up with more science about Planet X the next time, whenever that is. Would that be okay?
Okay.
I mean, you just had me talking for 3 hours. Don't you think you should give me a break?
I think our audience does need to listen to all this. I mean, I'd certainly need to listen to this all again, and kind of rebuild the picture of it. But it's a fascinating picture you're building up, Gordon. So,
I'd like to continue. You know, people go like, well, if I give you an hour, is that enough? I'm like, you know, I've talked to people where they go, well, you know, now that I've talked to you, I think more like 20 hours would be enough.
Yeah.
But I really would like to share what I know, and I'd like to have people understand it well enough so they can explain it to other people with confidence.
And that's a tricky one, because, a lot of it has been hidden. So, when do you want to come? When, I don't know if Andrew's going to be around tomorrow night. We've got some more space tomorrow night.
Okay. Well, when would that be? At 8 o'clock Eastern time again?
Right now. It would be, it's
9 PM Eastern time.
Okay. And what would that be for 2 hours again?
Yeah.
Minimum of 2 hours.
Would that be good with you, Dave?
You betcha.
Okay. So, thank you very much. Gordon, well, James, Gianinotto. Sorry, Dave?
No. I just said it's good for me.
It's good for you. It's good for me. I think Andrew would be happy to... Andrew's sort of currently laying down somewhere, tired.
Well, I don't know what he's doing. I mean, I know he's out at Mount Shasta, and I know it was raining there most of the day, I think, but I know he's not coming back till June 28th either, so.
Okay, so that's brilliant. So, Gordon, we'll catch up with the story tomorrow night, and Dave, thank you very much, and well, this has been an extra long journey, and thank you very much, everybody, for participating and listening in.
And this is part three.
Part three. Indeed.
Well, that was the fifth hour.
Yeah.
And it was the third segment, I guess, because it was two-hour shows, then this one-hour show. So
then
that's
1 hour show. So
5 hours total.
Thank you very much. This
and
is
just warming up, JP. Just warming up. Just.
We could indeed put this on a YouTube series. Very interesting. Okay, so
very much both of you, and God bless you, Dave, and thank you for the radio show, and thank you, JP, for being the host. So I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Gordon. Thank you very much. So.